Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am excited to be back again this week to help you let go of fear and get your life in gear. And we are going to continue our amazing dialogue that we started last week with relationship expert and psychotherapist Judy Fox. I have Judy with me again this week, and we're going to continue our conversation around what I'm calling staying calm in the center of the family storm. And I hope by now that everyone had a wonderful Christmas, if you folks celebrate Christmas together, or that you are been enjoying what hopefully was a little bit of a holiday time off, a little break in the work world and bringing together friends and hopefully some good parties and gift sharing. And if you listened to our show last week, you had an opportunity to maybe think about how to reinvent some of the rituals or maybe break some of the past patterns and reinsert new ways of coming together. What we talked about last week with Judy was this idea of how to rewrite the narrative of our holidays experiences and bring new ways of experiencing joy and happiness and connection. And I want to keep this conversation alive for one more week because we're still in the midst of this holiday period. And we have coming up the end of the year and another one of those major milestone holidays called New Year's. New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. And in our last show, Judy was sharing with me some of the hills and valleys and peaks and triggering periods for her clients. And I was thinking about my own client list and, you know, periods like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Mother's Day and in particular New Year's can be really some of the most challenging times for us. They can be the best of times because they can give us an opportunity to have a little break from our work world and to be together with people we love and party and share time with our children and our families. But they can also be really difficult times. And I think that today I want to welcome Judy Fox back to the show, and we're going to get her expert wisdom and counsel around how to make New Year's a festive occasion, how to bring joy, excitement, and in a way, rituals and things that set you off to have a really wonderful 2011. So I want to welcome Judy to the show and dig right into our dialogue. Hey, Judy.
Hey, Jeff. Glad to be back.
Welcome back. Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join me for 2 weeks in a row on the show. I feel privileged and grateful to have you on the air with me. And I just feel very honored because I know that you are the kind of person who just people come to rely on you for how to get through these sometimes challenging holidays. And just like last week when we were talking about examples of clients sort of reinventing their or breaking their patterns, I should say, and reinventing the stories and the ways that they can experience the holidays with their families. And I really appreciate your insights. You've obviously have a wealth of both personal experience but also professional experience. And I am excited to be able to dig into, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's tougher than Christmas, but clearly New Year's Eve and New Year's Day are times that can bring up a lot for people. You know, similarly to other holidays, there's this cultural expectation that, you know, you're going to go to a big party, you're going to stay out late, you're going to ring in the new year, you're going to fill out your forms with all the New Year's resolutions. And, you know, I hate to throw a wet blanket on it and start on a downer note, but isn't it safe to say, Judy, that a lot of that is a setup for disappointment?
Absolutely, Jeff. But first let me say thank you for having me on your show. I am thrilled to be here to be sharing in this dialogue with you and creating the dialogue with you. And I'm thrilled to be able to talk about this and share whatever it is that and shed light on whatever it is that we can for the listeners. So I'm really, really privileged and thrilled to be here with you. Getting into the focus on New Year's, I think that the hype leading up to Christmas is fraught with very, very, very different energy and issues than the experience of New Year's Eve. That culturally speaking, that if we can remember back to when we were young, in our dating world, when you're little, really little, New Year's Eve is just another holiday to celebrate with mommy and daddy. But that when you get into the idea of having dates, and sharing New Year's Eve with someone you care about in that way, the pressure that is experienced by so many people at that stage on having a date for New Year's Eve. It's like that's the most important night of the year to have a date. And if you don't have a date or you don't have a party to go to, it can be so triggering into the experience of being alone or being unpopular or even, God forbid, being a loser.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you're putting a wet blanket on it. I think it is very, very prevalent that it is underneath the hype, the cultural hype of New Year's Eve, is that place of, I don't even want to participate. Many people will say, I just want to even go to sleep at 9 o'clock. And not even participate in it because it's just such a hype.
Yeah.
And
I want to interject here.
Of supposed to be celebrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to interject that what you just said is so absolutely right on. I mean, I don't know whether it's prevalent because of the fact that we're working with clients, but I'd have to say that a very high percentage of my clients basically say, I don't want to do anything for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel guilty about that. Like they want, they're looking for me to maybe give them permission to have it be okay to not do anything for New Year's.
Yes, to not stay up to, quote, watch the ball go down.
Right.
What is the big deal in reality, of midnight New Year's Eve and the flip over on the calendar from 2010 to 2011, 2009 to 2010. It's such an arbitrary, constructed thing.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because what I often do, and I'd love to get your input on this, people will come to me and they'll be kind of looking for the go-ahead to not do anything on New Year's because they are either triggered or they have past experiences that didn't live up to their expectations. And, you know, in most cases, what I typically come back with is, yes, I'm happy to give them permission to do whatever works for them. I mean, it's a personal choice. But I think getting back to some of the things we talked about last week, what I also insert into the conversation is rather than being sort of a naysayer or throwing a blanket on New Year's and saying, no, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go to bed at 9. What about the possibility of reinventing your experience and creating a ritual around the ending of the year and the birth of a new year that's for you, that might have meaning for you or close friends or you and your partner? And, to do something different, to do something that actually marks that period in a way that's meaningful for you as opposed to whatever the culture wants.
I love what you're saying because it point to the possibility of creating something that's very different from the expectation of the gala event or somebody to kiss at midnight, or also New Year's resolutions, which is a very cultural phenomenon as well, and it's such a setup. How many people talk about the resolutions, and the whole word of resolutions? I am going to resolve. I am going to do this. And then they set themselves up to fail.
Right.
As if there's magic in a New Year's resolution, that's really going to be the trick that's going to have them actually commit to a goal and set the goal and then do it. And it can be such a setup for disappointment when it doesn't happen. And there's a lot of cultural conversation about that happens.
Right.
In the days that follow New Year's resolution making. But what you're pointing to is really powerful, which is to set up a different kind of consciousness around looking at the possibility of engaging. And I've talked to my clients about this, and it's really something that people can really get a hold of, which is allowing yourself to complete the year, to look at the year 2010 and just be with what actually happened, what didn't happen, what happened that you are ready to be with in a way that can be a completion for you, like a completion ceremony.
Right. I love that. Let me interject there, because it's a great time. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to share one of my experiences, and maybe you can share some of yours, of ways that people can do exactly that to inject a sense of completion and ritual and meaning into what otherwise could be kind of a difficult and sometimes challenging time for people. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And when we get back, we're going to reinvent New Year's Eve. We'll be right back, everyone.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more. Talk to a health coach and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in Wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am in dialogue with psychotherapist Judy Fox, and we are talking about, or we're continuing our conversation about how to re-inject joy into this holiday season. And given that we're having a run-up this week to the end of the year, we're talking about ways to reframe our stories and maybe reinvent the experience and the rituals that we have around New Year's. And, you know, I want to throw in a quick disclaimer, Judy, because, you know, there are people out there that still love to go to a good New Year's Eve party and that have rituals that really work well for them. And I don't want to throw a wet blanket on that. I mean, I've had New Year's over the years that have been pretty wonderful, going to a sort of classic culturally accepted New Year's Eve party with a partner, you know, so in those situations, you know, don't be dissuaded, right, from having a great time at a great party.
Absolutely. I also have enjoyed many, many, many New Year's Eve parties and still do. I participate in a ritual New Year's Eve party to this day that's been going on for about 5 years with the same people every year. And these are people that I don't get to see during the year to a certain extent. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful recreation and fun because it is a time and a day and an evening, a night that people actually do have an opportunity to just be in the ring in the new year energy.
Yeah.
So absolutely, absolutely. I'm very, very glad that you pointed that out and we're including that in our conversation about the gamut of from joy to acceptance and letting go of attachment.
Yeah, and there are times when you wake up and you realize that the ritual you've been doing for the last 5 or 10 years no longer works.
Yes.
And or is no longer fun. And I think that's something that we want to also be cluing in on. Like, what can you reinvent? What, when it's time to move on?
Yes.
What are the possibilities? And I want to ask you about ritual because I think that this idea of sort of marking the ending of a year and kicking off the new year. And rather than, you know, the idea of the focusing on New Year's resolutions and all of that, I'm just thinking of a wonderful ritual that I was invited to experience a couple of years ago that really helped me. I kind of reinvented my whole way I viewed New Year since then. And it was a very simple ritual, but I went to a party and it was a group of close friends. I didn't know everyone there, but I knew a small cadre of the people quite well. And it was a general dinner and drinks, and it was a nice sort of warm atmosphere. But one of the rituals that they did that I came away being very touched by is they had these little wooden sticks that were kind of like paint. They're used for stirring paint. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but so they're flat pieces of wood that are about a foot long and about an inch wide that normally you would buy to just stir paint with. Mm-hmm. And they had a fire, and what they asked us to do was to take two sticks, and on one we had to write. They gave us pencils and pens, and we wrote all over one stick so you could write on the whole thing, but the front and the back, all of the gifts that you received in the year that it ended. So, you know, the things that had happened during the year that were miracles that you were grateful for, things that you had survived, you know, recession, jobs, whatever it was, everything that you were grateful for the year. And then on the other stick, they had you write not so much New Year's resolutions, but your vision for like the best possible, what would be the best outcome for the end of next year. So if you were projecting yourself into the 2012, for example, and then you were looking back, what kinds of wonderful things would you love to see happen? And it wasn't saying, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. It was really more like, I look back on the next year and I feel really good about my body. Or I feel like I've really moved forward with my writing. Or I've reached a new level of happiness in my relationship. And so we took a few minutes to do that, just, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And then we kind of shared some of what we had written on the pieces of wood. And then the powerful part is then we just all threw it in the fireplace. And we just sat and we watched them all burn. And it was very powerful because it was like realizing how wonderful it was to feel grateful for the past year.
Yes.
And how powerful it was to project your ideas and dreams for the future. But then to just let it go. To let it go up in smoke and let be what was going to be was a really powerful ritual. Have you had any experiences with things along those lines or with your clients or?
Well, not as specific a ritual that can be so rich visually as you describe it. I can just visualize the actual. It's more a ceremony, an actual ceremony that you performed.
Yeah, it was a little, it wasn't very formal, but it was kind of a really enactment.
Yeah. I actually don't have any examples of that, but I am very supportive of people taking a look, taking the time before the end of the year, before they get to the party or before they get to the night of the eve of the new year. But at this time, spending some time with themselves and taking stock of what occurred in 2010 and getting present in a very private, personal space taking stock and getting present to the gifts that they received in 2010.
Right.
To what occurred that nurtured, what occurred that was miraculous. And by miracle, I don't mean as a major significant thing, but just the small miracles. Of a miracle being something that occurred that was unexpected,
right.
And taking stock of what actually can happen, what is the possibility of a new year, so that when you take stock of the past year, and you just personally, and if you want it to be in communication with someone, great, and if you don't, that's fine. But taking stock, just getting present to the to the experience of your life in the past year and seeing the lessons you learned and what opened up for you.
Yeah.
And if there are painful things that happened, to get present to what opened up out of that as well. Not just looking at the positive gifts, but also the gifts that were unexpected from the painful moments in 2010. And then allowing that to be complete. That 2010 is a time that is complete. And that opens the space for creation of 2011, perhaps not even looking at what you want to create or what you want to have happen or where you want to be at the end of the year, but just being in the space of newness.
Right.
You know, I'm reminded, although I haven't seen a depiction of this in years, but there used to be, maybe it still is and I haven't seen it, but there used to be the very ubiquitous depiction of Father Time as the old man wearing the banner of the year that's passing and the baby wearing the banner of the year that's coming in.
Mm.
And it's a funny depiction, a funny visual, but it is like, okay, the newness, the birth, so to speak, of the new.
Right.
And who knows what will be in the new? None of us do. But just being present to the newness.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying. I mean, it's there's like a dance. What you're talking about is kind of a two-step of stepping back, taking a private moment or a few minutes with your journal to share with yourself some of the things that you learned or gained or are grateful for from 2010. And I love that you're pointing to some things being small. I mean, I think often it's someone that we met during the year that we unexpectedly got a benefit from or a gift from, a new friend, an opportunity that came around that we weren't expecting. And it's those, it's when you reflect on that, that you realize how much of your life is in some ways kind of a miracle, because no matter what you planned, other things happen along the way. So we're going to jump to a break. And when we come back, I want to pick up on this idea of the birth of the new year and how to undermine that experience. I mean, not undermine, how to reinforce that experience with an expression of joy and ritual. So you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am in dialogue with Judy Fox, and I will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their trials. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And if you just joined us, I am in dialogue with Judy Fox, my dear friend and colleague and a relationship expert and a psychotherapist who's been in practice in the New York area for many, many years. And Judy's been sharing her thoughts and wisdom with me around how do we stay connected to the experience of joy and happiness and meaning and as we ring in the new year. And just before the break, Judy was sharing with us what I think is a really powerful idea or suggestion around doing something different to bring in the new year from the typical, put together your short list of resolutions, which is sort of the cultural norm. And, we didn't mention this, Judy, but another thing that happens at the end of the year is all the TV shows and all the radio shows do their predictions for 2011. And, everybody's doing the top 10 stocks that'll do well and the top 10, political things that'll happen and all of that. And unfortunately or fortunately, energetically in our culture, we get very caught up in predicting the future. And what I love about what you were saying just before the break is you're pointing to something really different, really specific and unique, which is to use the New Year holiday as an opportunity to bring closure, that sense of closure and gratitude for what took place in your life in the past year, and then to create an opening. I think what you were talking about is looking for ways to enter into the year with a sense of newness, with a sense of creativity and openness and possibility, and not necessarily fill it all up with resolutions and predictions and forecasts and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, say a little bit more about that, about how you recommend people get in touch with that energy and put that into practice, because I think it's very powerful.
The power of being in the moment, the power of recognizing that the future doesn't exist. there is no future. It is a concept. It is an idea. And that all there is the present. So when you make predictions, when you make resolutions, when you make predictions, when you make a wish list and a want list, you are filling an imagined future that sets up a theme that we've been talking about in a very different way, but using the same word, which is attachment. That it sets up an attachment to a particular picture,
right,
of what the future will be.
Yep.
And that can, I'm not saying it always does, but it can clutter the space of infinite possibility of a future that isn't here.
Right.
Because truly the future is infinite. It's infinite. There are infinite possibilities of the future.
Yeah,
and
I love
we fill it with pictures and attachments, it clutters the space of possibility.
Yeah. That's very profound what you're saying, because I think the other thing that happens is very quickly, if you get caught up in the idea of forecasting or predicting or, as you said, putting together your wish list for the future, in the act of doing that, there's a part of you that's no longer present.
Exactly.
And so you're living, your mind, your thoughts are propelling you into a place that doesn't exist yet. And you're disconnected from what's happening right in front of you.
Exactly.
And it's a real paradox in our culture. Because at the same time, I would not discourage people from having a vision, of having an intention about how they want to live their lives. But this is a very slippery slope.
Absolutely. I think we're pointing, I love what you're pointing to, because I think we're both pointing to, because I agree with you that it is very powerful for people to have vision, but what we're pointing to is distinguishing vision from resolutions, predictions, attachments, goals, wish lists, wants.
Right.
And vision is, let me see if I can articulate this well. And if I don't, perhaps, Jeff, you will be able to help me.
Well, this is a difficult
your own articulation of what I'm pointing to, because I know we're both on the same page with this.
Right.
That vision is much more amorphous than predictions, goals, and wish lists. Vision has the quality of has the qualities of creation, of the empowerment to create an experience. I don't know if that's communicating, but the vision of having, for instance, a vision of freedom that's not specific, but it's very visionary.
Yeah, let me help you out here. I think the way I sometimes try to articulate this with my clients is that the distinction, and if you remember, we wrote about this. I wrote specifically, we dialogued about this, and I wrote about it in, like, I think the third section of my book. So if anyone wants to hear more about it, there's actually a little subchapter in the book on the third part called No More Goals. And the way I would articulate it is, and you kind of pointed at it in your languaging, but the distinction, I think, is that a vision is a picture that has qualities. It's about, you use the word quality, and I think that's the key word. experientially, how do you want to experience the qualities of your life? Feeling freedom, feeling love, feeling creativity, feeling connected, feeling present.
Of the circumstances.
Yeah, and the problem.
Aspect of vision.
Exactly. So the problem with goals and resolutions, or at least the problematic aspect of them, I'm not necessarily saying that setting goals is a bad thing, but the problematic piece of it is that they get concretized.
Yes.
They get concrete. And when they get concrete, if it has to look like a certain amount of money, or it has to look like a certain size apartment if you're in New York,
yes.
Or it has to look like being on the beach, you know.
Or if it has to look like being in a relationship.
With a specific partner. Yeah, exactly. Then that is a setup, because the universe then doesn't have access to create combinations and permutations that might give you the miraculous experience of the quality that you're intending, but it might not look like what you thought it was going to look like.
Exactly, exactly. A perfect example of that is having a goal of having a relationship in my life versus having the vision of experiencing love in my life.
Yeah.
They may sound very much the same, but what we're pointing to is that they are as different. The gap between them is as wide as the Grand Canyon, as deep as the Grand Canyon.
Right. Yeah, I would say, you know, another classic one is the typical resolution would be, I want to lose 20 pounds.
Yes.
And a vision would be, by the end of 2011, I am in love with my body.
Yes.
You know, because you could actually gain weight and still be in love with your body.
Exactly.
It's reframing the whole experience. It's not about a concrete shedding of pounds.
Exactly.
It's about reinventing your experience of yourself.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a very challenging conversation, I think, for a lot of us, and myself included. I mean, it's hard to articulate the distinction. There are so many cultural things out there that tend to reinforce the more concretized goal setting.
Yes.
So, you know, this is a tough one, but I think we're beginning to focus in on where that distinction comes. So, we're going to take a break, let everyone sort of sit with that for a minute, because I think we're pointing to something very profound, and I really appreciate your insight in helping folks make this distinction. So when we come back from the break, maybe we can talk about suggested ways that people can insert this kind of expansive, open, creative vision for New Year's into their experience just coming up a few days from now. So you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we'll be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, The body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am in dialogue today with psychotherapist Judy Fox. And in case you're just joining us, Judy and I have been talking about how to make the experience of this change from 2010 to 2011 a joyful, powerful, meaningful experience instead of what I think some people or many of us sometimes know as the dreaded New Year's Eve ritual of parties and resolutions. And we were just talking before the break about something that Judy was articulating really beautifully around thinking of the opportunity to enter into a new year not so much by putting together a list of tasks and resolutions and goals, but thinking about it in ways of opening, seeing it as a fresh, creative possibility, and staying present in the experience. And what I was bringing up and asking her to articulate, and we kind of are going back and forth on, is this idea of holding a vision for how you'd love your life to evolve in 2011 and ways to do that that don't get you tripped up with goals and resolutions that become that a setup for disappointment. And I'd like to continue this dialogue, this theme, Judy, and talk a little bit about ideas that you might have for how to insert practices maybe on New Year's Day, with your family or by yourself, any ideas that you have for things that people could do to sort of really take advantage of what we're talking about. You had suggested in the run-up to the New Year's Eve that people find that private time, take a little space, do some journaling to reflect with gratitude on some of the things that have happened in the year, even reflecting on painful moments and what we learned from them. And what about the same kind of practice for New Year's going into the next phase? Any thoughts on that?
Let's see. Practices. I'm not coming up with any specific practices. Other than the one that I mentioned before. However, there's a possibility. This one is coming up in my mind as well. That can be very powerful. As one sits with oneself in reflecting the completion of 2010, I think that it's interesting and powerful for people who are in a couple relationship to sit down with their partner and look from the perspective of the couple and see what there was, as a couple, that occurred in 2010, and what there is as a possibility to be grateful for as a couple,
yeah.
And to look to see if there's anything that is from the couple perspective that the two together can be complete with and let go of. And so there's the couple. There's also the possibility of sitting down with family and actually having this conversation with parents with one's children. If there are listeners who have family and actually doing this as a ritual with your young children. If there are people who have other family members other than partners and young children, maybe there are adult children with parents and parents with adult children, to take the opportunity to look together in relationship with people who are significant in your life,
right?
To do this ritual, not only personally, privately, but actually in your relationship.
Yeah.
In addition, there's the possibility of creating vision in relationship as well. Not
right.
Goals for the couple or goals for the family or resolutions for the family and declarations, I will, et cetera, et cetera. You know, people with families, with young families, can hear this as, you know, a way of holding their children to do the things that they want them to do and fit their pictures, so that, you know, to have their children say, I will do my chores. That's not the point
right.
here.
Right.
It's literally the point of empowering the family to have vision about how they want their family to experience each other.
Yeah, let me interject there. I have a great example of exactly what you're talking about. So I'm so glad you brought this up, because I think it is difficult to think of necessarily specific practices other than maybe finding time to journal or you know, quiet time to go for a walk and do some reflecting. But a classic example, and you just brought this to me, I have a couple that I work with that are, you know, they run a business together, and one of the things that's been challenging for them is that they, because they work together and they spend so many hours on their business and they're always focused on work, that they don't have a lot of time that's quality time for each other and with their two young teenagers. I guess I think they have one that's about 8 and one that's a teenager. And in years past, they had tried to put together like a to-do list, have a date every other week, have a family dinner every Wednesday. And, you know, these things, as we were just talking about before, were very concrete. So unfortunately, they did it for a couple months, and then they would fall off the wagon, and they would get disappointed, and then they would feel like that never happened. And so what they've done instead, and I had suggested to them, is exactly what you just shared or you just pointed to, which is at the New Year's dinner, they went around the table and had each of them share their vision for how they would love to experience their family in the coming year.
Mm.
So what would bring you joy in the family next year? And it didn't have to look like a particular, you know, dinner or any, but each of them, including the kids, had their thing that they would love to do. They would love to experience. You know, one of the kids was like, what's really important to me is that we take one trip together and go into the mountains and do hiking. If I have that that I can look forward to, then I can deal with all sorts of other stuff. And, my client's wife said, you know, what I really want is physical cuddling time. And we just need to create that private time for us to give each other back rubs and be together. So, you know, it wasn't so much very specific goals, but it was, to your point earlier, it was about the qualitative experience that they want to have together. And I think they came away feeling like that's doable. You know, they
really
can manage that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love what you're sharing, because I think it's really about creating an experience of joy for each other around these holidays.
Absolutely. And going back to the possibility of before the new year for the couple and the family, maybe we've said this already, but I'm not sure, to sit together and address the gratitude, not just individually and personally, but the gratitude for the couple and the gratitude for the family of what 2010 brought them.
Right.
And have that be presenced.
Right. And keep in mind that it doesn't have to be big. It can be really small. Little things sometimes
exactly.
mean a lot. So what I'm very aware of is that we're running out of time, my dear. And but I'm extremely grateful and present to the opportunity to be on the air with such a wise and wonderful guest. And as always, it's a pleasure for me to be in dialogue with you, Judy. And I want to wish you all the best for the vision that you hold and the miracles that you dream about coming to you in 2011.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for this opportunity. It has been a delight to be with you and to be in dialogue in this way and share what it is, excuse me, what it is that we've been sharing with your listeners. And I wish the same for you, to have a joyous holiday season and a new year filled with the realization of your visions.
Thank you, Judy. And thank you to all my listeners. Have a great New Year's, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week as we kick off a new year on Life Shifting with Dr. J. Take care, everyone.